From Decatur to Dunwoody, from Tucker to Toco Hills, from Chamblee to Stone Mountain, this is the voice of commerce in DeKalb County. Now, broadcasting from the Business Radio X studio in downtown Decatur, this is DeKalb Business Today.
And welcome into another edition of DeKalb Business Today here on DeKalb Business Radio. My name is Matt Holmes, and pleased to be joined by a great panel of guests for our noon show today. We'll introduce them in just a second, but first want to remind you DeKalb Business Radio is on social media. You can follow us on Twitter at DeKalb Radio X. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/DeKalb Business Radio X. Of course, you listen live each Friday at 10 and noon here on DeKalb.businessradiox.com. And if you can't catch us live, make sure to download our free podcasts on our website, or they're also a free download on iTunes. And of course, this edition of DeKalb Business Today is brought to you by the Bernellis Insurance Group of Dunwoody. For all your insurance needs, contact Callan and her talented team at 1-800-376-8967, or just check out the link on our website, DeKalb.businessradiox.com. All right, let's get to our guests. And the first guest is Ty Anderson with Syrup Marketing. Ty, good afternoon to you.
Thank you. Great to be here.
We're glad to have you here. You kind of took a roundabout way to get to being the growth director there at Syrup Marketing. Give us a little bit of your background.
Well, I spent 22 years in the music space, and I figured I played with a band, and the job when you're in a band is to make fans. And so I thought, you know, I wonder if I could apply this to brands and help brands make fans. We all want to do the same thing. We want to make new fans, and we want to turn the fans we have into super fans.
And the band, of course, people have heard of, Third Day, very successful.
Yes, Third Day. We've been going for about 22 years and 4 Grammy Awards, 8 million albums, been to every state in the union and every continent on the globe.
How did you find Syrup Marketing? How did Syrup Marketing find you?
Well, Syrup Marketing, just a little bit of a background, it's kind of two sides to our house. And I was introduced to them on the brand identity side, the clarity side. I was referred to Syrup as a great place to help me figure out who I was going to be in this business world. I had all these ideas of how I could help brands grow their fans, but I knew I needed a good name, a great logo, and a great website to kind of tell that story. So I went in to go hire Syrup. And as I was showing them the ways I've done it, the tactics I've done it to grow our fans in the music space, our creative director said, you know, everything you're talking about sounds like the other side of what we do, that connection side. And we're just as committed to growing fans after their first sale as acquiring those new customers. Why don't you check us out? And maybe instead of doing your own thing, just join up with us.
That's funny.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Well, it was refreshing after, you know, 250 LinkedIn applications that went right to the shredder. It was like when I'm finally just giving up and trying to hire someone to hang my own shingle, that's when I finally get a job.
That's so funny. SyrupMarketing.com is the website. You can follow them on Twitter at Syrup Marketing. It's Syrup, S-Y-R-U-P, just like what you put on your pancakes. Is there a story behind the name?
Well, I think it kind of goes to our tagline. So, you know, what do you want your marketing to be? What's the right recipe? And, you know, our recipe is that it needs to be sweet clarity, and it needs to form a sticky connection.
Okay.
And then it can yield tasty results. So I think syrup's a perfect metaphor, especially when you throw in some drip marketing campaigns.
Well, we'll hear more about the sticky and the sweet results in just a second. But I want to introduce our second guest today, and that's Bianca Crawford, who's been a guest on our show before, and she is with Uncle Boo's Catfish Corner. It is the lunch hour, Bianca. Tell us a little bit about this new restaurant coming to Atlanta.
Your mouth should be salivating right now.
After syrup and now catfish,
after
it is.
I'm telling you, syrup and then we got catfish. I don't know if we'll have them on the same day, but the same hour. But yes, Uncle Boo's Catfish Corner is a new restaurant that is going to sweep Atlanta. They are going to launch the opening in the spring of 2016. He is a client of mine. I am there. Public relations specialist and their business development marketing manager. And he had a successful run as just the Catfish Corner out in Seattle, Washington. And since coming here to Atlanta, he actually wanted to expand his menu. And so how do we do that? It's just something to be said about golden fried catfish and needing some mouthwatering macaroni and cheese to go along with it, topped off with some homemade peach cobbler. So he said, you know, Bianca, we need a perfect, delectable dessert line, and we need to have a mouth-watering macaroni and cheese. How can we do that? And so this became my brainchild, and I said, let's do a cook-off and a bake-off. Let's open it up to everybody, because we've got some novice cooks, we've got some chefs, we've got, you know, just a city full of people who would love the opportunity to be able to come and showcase their talent as far as cooking and baking is concerned. And so that's what we're doing. It is going to be tomorrow. We are super stoked and excited. We're going to be on the campus of Le Cordon Bleu, and we are going to host the first and maybe the annual, but it is definitely the first cook-off. It is the So You Think You Can Bake Challenge and the Mouthwatering Macaroni and Cheese Challenge. The grand prize winner is going to walk away with $500 cash and the contract to have their item carried on Uncle Boo's menu.
So this serves a purpose for Uncle Boo's, but I also see that it's going to help charity as well.
It is. This is a charitable event. This is very near and dear to my heart. And because they're just great employers, it became very near and dear to their heart. Children's Healthcare of Atlanta, the Sibley Heart Center. I have a 6-year-old daughter that was born without her left ventricle. Mm. And she's had 2 open heart surgeries. And next to Jesus himself, I trust Children's Healthcare of Atlanta. I love them. There's nothing I wouldn't do for them. And so all proceeds are going to go and benefit the Sibley Heart Center.
That's a ringing endorsement. $5 will buy you a ticket into the event. And again, it's 12:30 until 4 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. That's Saturday, November the 14th out there at Le Cordon Bleu on Lakeside Parkway in Tucker. Talk to me a little bit more about the menu and what people can expect when it opens in 2016.
You can expect a very southern menu. So we, of course, are going to have the golden fried catfish. We have the hush puppies. We will have the fried okra. We're going to have greens, collard greens. We're going to have sweet potatoes. We're going to definitely have the macaroni and cheese. And we're still tweaking certain parts of the menu. And then we're going to expand to that delectable dessert line. So we're looking at sweet potato pie, pecan pie, peach cobbler, and I'm missing something. Pound cake.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. What can we do without the pound cake? And we may just have a specialty item as well when it comes to the desserts. So that's actually what our contestants that are in the baking portion, what they're baking tomorrow, they get to do a specialty item that will set them apart from everybody else. So it could be your Sakit Tumi cake, your red velvet, your German chocolate, and that could just be the winner, and we might wind up carrying that on the menu as well.
That's awesome. I think part of the challenge for Uncle Boo's Catfish Corner is going to be putting people in from Monday through Saturday, because on Sundays, judging from your location right there near the new Falcon Stadium, I would imagine that's going to be a madhouse once it opens.
We're looking, our new restaurant is going to be about 6,000 square feet. We're going to have a bar included. We're going to be blocks away from the new Mercedes Stadium for the Falcons. Rise up. It's going to be pretty phenomenal. So we're going to have the big screen TVs. So I can only envision what it's going to look like on a Sunday.
How are you getting the word out to the community? Obviously, you're not open yet. You're a few months away from that. It's kind of your job there in the public relations field, a lot through this event coming up tomorrow.
I know. No pressure. Exactly. A lot with the event tomorrow. We've done a lot of radio production with a lot of the radio stations. We've got an ad running currently on Star 94, an ad running on Praise 102.5. We've got an ad running on Boom radio station. We didn't want to just open this up, of course, to the urban market. This goes out to the foodie community. If you are a lover of good quality food, or if you're looking for the next greatest personal chef, or if you're looking for someone to do your holiday baking for you, tomorrow, Le Cordon Bleu is the place for you to be. We have 10 of their students who are actually going to be participating. Le Cordon Bleu has been absolutely phenomenal with everything that we've needed in order to, you know, make this event happen and happen in such a large way. Just the notoriety of being able to be on their campus is amazing. But this is where we're also going to have a hospitality group that'll be there that called me and said, hey, listen, you guys are blessing someone with a contract and with a prize. We want to bless somebody with a job. We've got jobs in the culinary field. I've got jobs available at Coke. I've got jobs available in the kitchen at Google, at Children's Healthcare of Atlanta. We want people to be able to walk away with jobs. And so in part of the graphics, I said, listen, come hungry and leave with a new career.
That's awesome. Again, it's coming up tomorrow, 12:30 to 4 o'clock, right there at lunchtime. So come hungry. $5 will get you in, and the proceeds going to Sibley Heart Center, their Children's Healthcare of Atlanta. Bianca, we appreciate you being here today.
Thank you so much for having me. Always a pleasure to be with you, gentlemen.
This is DeKalb Business Today and DeKalb Business Radio. I want to get back with Ty Anderson. Again, Syrup Marketing is the company. And Ty, you talk about the sugar rush. What is the sugar rush? How do companies avoid it?
Well, you know, I think this is a great metaphor so close to Halloween. When you have the sugar rush, how do you keep it going? You're feeling good. The only way to keep a sugar rush going is to eat more sugar and to feed it. And I think that's the way a lot of people approach their marketing, is they go, how can we connect with as many people as possible? And then hopefully that will turn to business. But it's kind of like, in order to keep that going, they got to keep on spending, keep on connecting with people. Where ultimately, we look at, you know, kind of getting off that sugar addiction, even though we're named Syrup. So, we look at it as, once you get that win, how can you continue to cultivate that relationship so that your business can sustain itself without having to continue to just rely on getting new customers? And so we have a systematic way to do that, to go, you know, once somebody comes into Uncle Boo's Catfish Corner, you know, why would you want to stop talking to them? Now it's the opposite. You want to turn them into your sales and marketing asset. So it starts by giving them a great experience, which, as you go over your menu, I have no doubt you're going to do. But how do you go beyond that? How do you delight that customer? And we define delight as a surprise moment of joy. It's giving them more than they expect. It's exceeding their expectation. It's communicating with them even after they've come to your restaurant. Because here's who's most likely to come to Uncle Boo's Catfish Corner. Someone who's been to Uncle Boo's Catfish Corner. So you start to cultivate that relationship. You don't want to just have someone come in one time and that be it. You want those loyal customers. So how do you do it? And so it crosses out of just marketing, out of that sugar rush and thinking of marketing that way it crosses into customer service. It crosses into treating people the right way, continuing to communicate with them. You don't have to go find them as strangers, but you can speak to them as friends. You know, we all love those restaurants when you walk in and they know your name. We all want those Norm from Cheers moments, you know, and so that's what we help. You know, we can all relate to those metaphors with the restaurant because we all see it. We can relate to those metaphors from the music space. But, you know, how do you do that when you're an accounting firm? How do you do that when you're a software company? How do you do that when you're selling hardwood floors? And that's what we help our clients do, is figure out those right times to delight their customers, both physically and digitally. So number one, you can grow them as a customer. There's those opportunities to upsell, resell, cross-sell. You start looking at the lifetime value of a loyal customer. And imagine for this restaurant, as they open, their sustainability and their success is not going to be because people come in one time. It's because people make it every Sunday. This is where they want to go. And every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, now they might be feeding the cardiac center with a steady supply of patients because you can only eat so much. We're talking about the syrup and fried catfish.
Of course,
Anyone who's listening in for a health and fitness show, you've gone to
the wrong place. That's the wrong one,
But you know, you grow as a customer, and then ultimately, what do you want? What you want as a business is for your best customers to tell their friends about you. And we have some systematic ways that we just don't hope that happens. We guide our best customers through that journey so it can happen every time.
Do you find that there are certain companies, certain CEOs that are resistant to some of the ideas that you guys have? I mean, not everybody's a marketing person, but some of them think they are and think they're doing it the right way.
Yeah, what we find is that a lot of people, as we explain our system, they'll buy into it philosophically. Go, well, yeah, that's the kind of business I want to be. I would never want to stop talking to my customers once I've done all this work and spent all this money to acquire these customers. Of course, I want to communicate with them. And I go, great, that sounds like a great intention. Now, what are your priorities? And when you kind of ask that question, like, what does your budget look like? And you find that most people have exhausted their marketing budget to acquire that new customer. So the idea of continuing to spend even just a little bit, just a fraction of it, for customer retention and loyalty and growth and on referral creation, that's where the tension comes in. And so what we try to help companies do is line up those intentions with their priorities and create a systematic plan to make sure it happens every time. And what we see is we don't like to pick on the CEOs. Usually, if a company is having growth, it's because of the best practices of a CEO. That CEO, every time they get a new client, they write a handwritten thank you note. And they appreciate their customers. But as they're experiencing growth, how do they scale that? How do they scale that into their growing sales department? How do they scale that into their marketing so that customer experience stays intact as the company grows? Because a lot of times we all know, and I know this from the music space, you know, it's really easy to go hang out with your favorite band when they're on their way up. But then once they make it, they stop talking to you. And that's what the fans have to have a revolt and not like their favorite band anymore. So we try to help companies avoid that, to say, let's take your best practices and let's do it every time for every customer.
Ty Anderson's our guest. He's the growth director for Surat Marketing here on DeKalb Business Today. We were talking for a while before the show about online marketing, about how important a company's website is, about the social media aspect of it. Talk a little bit about how you guys see websites and judge companies' websites, and also how do you stay on top of the ever-changing landscape that is social media?
Yeah, it's a great challenge because, you know, the medium is changing. It's changing all the time. You know, I think I actually got my marketing degree just about 3 years ago. I finished up, and it was like, all of these classes, and it ended with, oh yeah, and there's things called Facebook that some companies are using to talk about themselves. Mm-hmm. Like, well, the world's really changed, mm-hmm. you know, and so many of us, you know, how we engage with brands is on social media. It is online. So the way we look at it is we start by putting it under kind of the magnifying glass of clarity. And we say, you know, are you telling the world what you're good at? And, you know, when you have a company, like, let's take Uncle Boo's Catfish Corner. So I'll use my time for you as well. But it's like, if you go to the UncleBoo'sCatfishCorner.com, and they present it as like, well, we are a restaurant that offers, you know, the ultimate culinary experience. It's, you get lost in just the gobbledygook of it. Mm-hmm. You want a brand to own what they are. You want to say, you know what, we offer the best Southern fried catfish. We're not going to pretend to be health food. When you're going to that Falcons game, you don't want health food.
Right.
You know, it's so you want a company that owns what they are. They know it. They know their uniqueness, and then communicate that to the world. And that's how you have resonance. It's that idea of tribes by Seth Godin, of like, be the best at what you do and stop being this generalist. And that's what I think a lot of companies on their website and even on their social media, it's such a neutral, boring, unhuman message that no one can connect with it because they don't own who they really are. And I think that's where it starts. Anything online is be human, be courageous, and know who you are.
You work in a band for a long time, and that's a unique environment. At a marketing firm, kind of a bunch of creative people sitting around. How is it similar? How is it different when you talk about a working environment?
Yeah, I think it's so doing business development for a company, I think it's more like I'm the band manager for the band, because they, you know, they're hard at work, these tacticians, these experts, these specialists in all these areas: social media, building landing pages, installing CRM, marketing automation, all, you know, graphic designers. So they're the experts. So it's more like they're the musicians, and I'm out there more as the manager, you know, kind of telling the world about what we do. So I'm almost the marketing for the marketers. But it is, I think there's a lot of similarity in that, you know, in our internal culture, we really value our team. And that's what, you know, when you see a great band, my favorite band is U2. Mm-hmm. And the reason why I love U2 is because U2 loves each other. Like, the last time Bono was, or U2 was in town, Bono from the stage said, you know, hey, just yesterday, The Edge and I were walking through, how do you pronounce it? Piedmont Park. So he totally butchered Piedmont Park. But the idea that these guys weren't just on stage making music together, but on their day off, that they'd be hanging out together, that friendship, that's why I love U2. That's what I like seeing on the stage. And in contrast, I saw a band, and I won't name names, but I was really excited about this show. But as soon as the show started, there wasn't a single moment of eye contact among the band members. And you knew that each one of them had their own tour bus, and this was the only time of the day that they would even interact with each other, because, you know, 30 years of bad blood, and there was no way that they were friends anymore.
Van Halen.
I wasn't going to name that. No, and that wasn't it. It was a different one, okay. but that could be. But with that, I think similarly, our culture spills into our clients, and we we have a culture at Syrup where it's really hard to be part of our team. It's very selective who gets to join us. But man, once you're in, we love each other. We care for each other. We engage with one another. We like to say at Syrup, which is, it's really cool. We'll go through and we do like little pop quizzes with each other where we say we are, and somebody can say one of our clients, and any one of our team members has to be able to give back what that client's mission is, what makes them unique, what, how are they trying to grow, what stage are they in as a company. And so just that ownership of our clients and defining our success by our clients, I think it makes us really unique, and it makes it a lot like a band.
Before we wrap up, tell me about some of your clients. I think they're all local, pretty mm-hmm. much, and some of the successes that you guys have had at Syrup Marketing.
Yeah. We serve a lot of different clients, a lot of different industries, some in the nonprofit space, some in the for-profit space. My favorite example is a company, because we got to kind of do it all with them. And they came to us. It was a hardwood floor company. And they, I'll give them a little plug. It was a company called Nidri. And they had this product that was awesome, that it was this hardwood floor, a real hardwood, not a fabricated thing, real hardwood floor, but it doesn't scratch, really hard to dent. And, you know, they had tried taking it to market, but they didn't have a brand. They didn't have an identity with it. And they were spending a lot of money on paid social ads, and just it wasn't working. And so they came to us and going, you know, we have this great product, but what do we do? So we started at the beginning. And we found their uniqueness, and we actually helped name the company, but went through our whole brand identity exercise. And we really came up with, your audience is dog owners, because dog owners, they're willing to pay a little bit more, but they're who needs not, you know, a product that doesn't scratch, because the dogs are always rooting the floor and everyone's swatting their, you know, dogs on the nose because the dogs are scratching the floor, where it's really not their fault. They're not the ones that, you know, are in charge of cutting their nails. So, we found that was the market. So we branded the company, you'll love this, Hardwoof, and a great logo, built their website crystal clear. You can go to hardwoof.com, and there's no doubt what they do. It is not confusing. It is right there as what this company does. And now as we go help them connect and make customers, we sort of, even though we're playing off this whole dog thing, we take that idea of being human, and not just sounding like some big corporate entity, but as we do their Facebook ads and draw them to landing pages to collect information, so we don't have to have the sugar rush of always having to spend to reach customers, we don't ask for their name and email, we ask for their dog's name and email.
That's funny.
So now as we do, when you sign up and you get an email, well, all of a sudden, you, in your inbox, we all have, our inboxes get flooded with all these messages. Well, when it's addressed to their dog, with a really clever email title, they get opened and they get read and they get clicked to, and they've been a great success story, you know, just on that part of that sales funnel of how they've, you know, generated now millions of dollars of lead generation and qualified leads from these paid social campaigns. But it's all because we started at the beginning. We started that foundation of what makes you unique. What are you the best at? What's your superpower as a company? Let's brand that. Let's tell that story to the market. And now as we communicate, let's be bold. Let's be courageous. Because if we just sound boring like everyone else, you know, I guarantee you, Uncle Boo's Catfish Corner, if it comes out and it sounds just like it's a Morrison's cafeteria,
right,
it's not going to work. That's not what it's about.
Is it going to be like a Morrison's cafeteria? Or are we
I promise
have some,
you.
I know you wouldn't do that, too.
I'm not even familiar with Morrison's cafeteria, but I've been to some cafeterias, and this is so not cafeteria food. Somebody referred to cafeteria, like, I know you guys have been to the Carolinas. What was it, like a K&K or something like that? And I had somebody tell me one time, you eat that desperation food? So I would never want anybody to look at us like we're serving desperation food. We are selling comfort food. We are selling food that is good to the soul, is going to nourish your soul. It is soulful. It's not specifically soul food, but it has a soulful flavor to it. And, you know, one thing is we actually have somebody who's competing, and they are making a vegan macaroni and cheese that I heard would make you slap your mother's head off.
I'd have to try that to believe.
The goal of any macaroni and cheese. No, that's mother-in-law.
Oh, okay.
At least I didn't say.
but we wanted her to take place in the competition because we don't know where the menu is going to go. And I, like I mentioned, you know, they're coming from Seattle, which we know that Seattle, Washington is very health conscious. Mm-hmm. Atlanta hasn't caught up to that yet, but
we've got our vegans and vegetarians.
We have a very, very large vegan population that is here. I had a potential judge, and you know, he was just like, listen, if it's not vegan food, I can't taste it. I won't sample it. I can't help you. And I was like, well, you know what? I got to respect where you are with that. You know, if this is what you do, this is what you do. And you take it very seriously. But this young lady that's doing the macaroni and cheese does a curry tofu. I mean, she just has a line of, you know, vegan, you know, just culinary specials. I think that's phenomenal. Mm-hmm. And like I said, we don't know where we'll wind up futuristically, what we're going to expand, you know, the menu to. So we definitely want to keep that, you know, we want to keep those lines open.
If you come out with a vegan catfish, let me know.
I've seen some catfish hard. They are on steroids.
Well, they have vegan turkeys now for Thanksgiving.
Do they really?
Like tofurkey.
The pilgrims would not smile about that.
We don't want to get too far away from Uncle Boo's history of certain good catfish, and we don't want to change that up. I'm just saying.
I think that's hilarious.
Good to bring in vegan mac and cheese.
It is. You know what? The best part about it is if you can't tell.
Yeah.
That's the thing, you know, and that's what makes, like, there's not going to be a yellow highlighter over her tomorrow that says, hey, she's the one that made the vegan.
Right.
We're not even going to announce that until after, you know, let's say she walks away and she wins that thing. Because guess what? I don't have the same body I used to have 15 years ago. So guess what? A girl like me is lactose intolerant. So, you know, vegan macaroni and cheese is not half bad because I can't do all of the dairy that's in, you know, regular mac and cheese, you know. So we've just got to start curtailing some of the ways we do things. So, but it would be very interesting if she wins this tomorrow. I'm coming back with samples for you guys.
It surprised a lot of people, no question. Now, one of the things that Bianca talked about earlier about how they're getting the message out at Uncle Boo's, Ty, I'll put that question to you. You have your existing clients. How do you reach out to, how are you connecting with potential clients?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think, you know, and I had a client that just implemented this very quickly, but the last thing that Uncle Boo's would want to do tomorrow is have this event, have all these people turn out for this great food and not collect any information on them. Because then they're back to the drawing board. They have to come up with another event to connect with people. So we say, if you're going to go to the trouble to connect, if you're a business and you're going to a trade show, if you're going to spend money on a Facebook ad, you have to have some mechanism to collect information. And it doesn't have to be a lot of information. It can just be a name and email. We all see it where, you know, when people come up to us and they want name, email, phone number, address, how many people work in your company, how many children do you have with your social security number, you know, we're going to
15 minutes later,
it's just a punt. So what's just that quick information? How can you collect it? Maybe on an iPad, if you don't have the technology available, you know, collect it on a postcard, get that information. When we started as a band, it was before we had really email, you know. And so, you know, I kept, part of our secret to success was I grew this mailing list up to 30,000 people where I had their names and addresses, and I'd mail them postcards when we were coming into town. Very basic. It cost a lot of money, a lot of trips to the airport to save some money on postage. Now we can do that so much more efficiently. So if you're going to connect, you need to collect. You need to get that information so you can continue the conversation. Because otherwise, someone comes out tomorrow, they have this great experience, they have a great time with Uncle Boo's Catfish Corner. Well, are they going to remember that 6 months from now as the store opens? They've received 10,000 more messages since then. You know, I heard a thing, we receive 1,000 messages a day now. Millennials receive 3,000 because they're glued to their phones. So they're not going to remember 6 months from now, even if it's great. They're going to have to see another impression to prompt that. Well, if you collect information, you can essentially have that next connection for free, because now you can send them an email, hey, it's our grand opening. If you don't collect any information, you're going to have to go back to that top level connect and come up with another event to get in front of people. So once you collect, then you can cultivate. Maybe it takes 5 or 6 promptings. Maybe it takes a little coupon. Maybe it takes a little discount to get them into the store. But finally, ultimately, what's the goal of even an event like tomorrow is to eventually get those people into the store as paying customers. So that's how we'd approach it, almost that top level. And then, you know, we were talking earlier, then the last thing you'd want to do is have someone walk into your store, do business with you, and never talk to them again.
Sure.
You have to have a way to delight that customer, grow them, and ultimately turn them into the crown jewel of any business. It doesn't matter what you do. We all need champions. We all need raving fans that will do our sales and marketing with us, or else we're always going to be chasing technology, and that's an expensive proposition.
It's interesting in the restaurant space. Our 10 o'clock show this morning, we had a guy who owns a couple Chick-fil-A franchises. Mm-hmm. And one of the things they always do at Chick-fil-A is they give you your receipt. At the bottom of the receipt, go online, fill out this survey. You'll get a free chicken sandwich. And it costs them a chicken sandwich, but they're going to get your information. They're also going to get some feedback on the restaurant. And I'm wondering, Bianca, how important that feedback is as you're getting ready to open a new restaurant.
I'm wondering why you didn't book me on the 10 o'clock show so that I can be with the Chick-fil-A people. You know I love Chick-fil-A. No, I'm sorry. What was your question?
How important is getting feedback from these customers you're going to have when you open in just a couple months?
It's amazing. It's amazing. But you know what? Just, you know, and you guys have the, you know, the delighter of knowing my personality, but everything that I do is customer oriented. Mm-hmm. The professional corporate background that I have, you're nothing without your customers. And, you know, the word used to be, if you've had a bad experience, well, what was it? If you had a good experience, tell everybody. If you had a bad experience, tell us. The same mechanisms that we're using to build our businesses are the same mechanisms now today that could tear our businesses down in 30 seconds. Mm-hmm. All it takes is for somebody to tweet about the experience that they've had. All it takes is for somebody to Facebook, take a picture, you know, and talk about, you know, I was at McDonald's and look at the look on the girl's face that she gave me. So we have to make sure that we are, you know, social media is vital.
It just takes that one bad Yelp review to ruin a restaurant.
That's it. Yeah. That's it. And being a restaurateur is very difficult. You know, we just know statistically that restaurants are the quickest to go out of business, that they stay in the red probably for the first 36 months. And so this particular restaurant, we're looking to franchise out to about 26 restaurants in 36 months. Mm. So we're looking at that type of growth. So how important is it that our customers love us, that they're telling everybody that they love us? It is extremely important. And that's why, particularly with this baby of mine, with the Bake Off and the Cook Off, I personally handled each contestant. We've got 40 contestants. It wasn't just so that I could be involved in everything, but I need to know my people and I want them to know me. They all have my personal cell phone number, And I'm telling them, I'm burning the midnight oil on this. Call me if you have any questions, any concerns. A lot of people, this is their first time ever competing. I've got people coming. I've got a young lady coming from Indianapolis, Indiana.
Wow.
To compete. I have a young lady coming from Baltimore, Maryland to compete, you know, just to have that gumption and goal to get on an airplane and travel hundreds of miles to come and bake your peach cobbler. You know, I didn't want you to have to talk to my people about anything. You talk to me, you know, and so that hands on that. That's just my personality. Everybody is like, I can't wait to meet you on Saturday. I'm going to hug you. And I'm like, and I'm going to hug you back because, you know, without you guys, there wouldn't be a bake-off or a cook-off. I needed contestants. And the fact that you believe in yourself enough or people have called, you've got to talk to my aunt. Oh, you've got to talk to my mom. Oh, my brother just graduated from Johnson & Wales. That there are other people that believe in people enough to want to nominate them and catapult them to come here and do this. So again, for me, it is that customer service flair of just being able to be one with the people that you are servicing. Now, I can't clone myself, but I can certainly train up a nation of Uncle Boo employees that are definitely going to be in this to win this. We want to keep our clients, we want to keep our customers happy, and we want to be able to franchise and go from state to state and have, you know, Uncle Boo's Catfish Corner be a staple, not only in the community, but a household name.
Well, it's going to be a staple on Walker Street, right there near the new Falcon Stadium opening in just a couple months. Do you have a date, or is it just early 2016 at this point?
We're still working on the facility as far as, you know, having it gutted. Mm-hmm. So right now we're looking good. Oh, and I forgot to mention. Well, so to answer your question, we're looking good for spring. I would say maybe April, May.
Sure.
We have a food truck.
Oh, that's one way to get it out. Yeah.
Yes. So
when your building's not ready, put it in a truck.
Hello. Yeah. Exactly. So we have a food truck that was going to be on display tomorrow, but we had some last minute tweaking to do for the food truck. But we're joining the Atlanta Food Truck organization because we have a lot of food trucks here in Atlanta that do things in the community. So you will start to see at a lot of the events, you will see the Uncle Boo's Catfish Corner food truck that will be out and about in the community.
Well, that sounds great.
So Bianca, that is until we're, you know, until we're standing.
That's awesome. Bianca Crawford representing Uncle Boo's Catfish Corner. Get ready to check that out in a couple months. And Ty Anderson from Syrup Marketing. Find them on the web, syrupmarketing.com. They're at Syrup Marketing on Twitter. And Ty's on Twitter, at Ty Anderson, T-A-I Anderson. He's on Facebook and LinkedIn as well. Check them out. Guys, great discussion today. We appreciate it.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Awesome. Always a pleasure being here. Nice to meet you, Ty.
Nice to meet you.
Let's get sticky.
And with that, that'll do it for this edition of DeKalb Business Today on DeKalb Business Radio. We'll be back next Friday with another great panel of guests. Same time, same place. So for executive producer Jason Becknell, I'm Matt Holmes. We'll see you next time.